2 Kings chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible said this, Now there was a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. And then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, and borrow not a few. And when they are come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, and shut the door upon her, and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. It came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, Bring me yet another vessel, bring yet another vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. I want you to go back in verse number 2 this morning. Notice what the Bible said. He said unto her, What do you have in your house? And she said, I have only a pot of oil. And I will preach to you that subject this morning, only a pot of oil. Heavenly Father, bless now, we pray. And Lord, I pray for strength. I pray, God, for power. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you might come and encamp here this morning. I pray for every person gathered here today that's got some need in their life. There's not a person here today that does not have some type of need, whether it be spiritual or physical, mental or financial. There's some, everyone has some type of need here today. And I pray they might look unto thee and find that you will supply every need according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, Father, we pray again for power from on high. Hide us behind the cross. We'll thank you for all that's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hold your Bible open to the book of 2 Kings this morning. Here we find the story the Bible mentions in verse number 1 about a widow, and it mentions about her husband being dead. Now, the Bible said that there was a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets. The sons of the prophets actually was a school of the prophets. This was a learning institution. This was a place that men would go that would learn about the things of God. And here there was a man that had been studying the things of the Lord, a prophet of God. And something happened, either sickness or perhaps an accident, but this man died. Now, when he died, he left behind not only a wife and two sons, but he left behind a debt. He had borrowed some money, and here he left behind a debt that his wife was responsible for. As time went on, the Bible said in verse number 1, she could not pay this debt, and so the creditor came to her house and demanded payment, and she said, I have nothing to pay. I don't have any money. My husband died, and he didn't have life insurance. By the way, that's death insurance. And she said, I don't have anything to pay you with. Now, it was in biblical days, if you owed a debt, and let's say that a man died, then the creditor could come and if you had any children, he could take a child and make them a slave and make them pay off the debt. And so this is what was going to happen. This woman here had two boys, and the creditor was knocking on her door, and the wolf was there, and he was saying, I want one of your boys to pay off the debt that your husband ran up. Well, she didn't want her son being a slave. And so what she does, she goes to the man of God. Look in verse number 1. There was a certain woman of the wives of the sons of prophet unto Elisha said, thy servant, my husband's dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. Now, may I stop right there and make a comment? You may be here this morning, and you may not be saved. You may be here this morning, and you're not a Christian. May I tell you something? That what I'm going to preach about today only applies to folk that know Christ. You cannot expect God to meet your need unless you're a child of God. Amen. You see this thing, it's like this. Now, Brother Rodney and Sister Pat, when this little feller, well, he's not little anymore, but now when he was little, when he was growing up, I'm sure he didn't come to his daddy and said, Daddy, what you going to buy me to put on? What are we going to eat today? I'm worried about the food. I'm worried about what we're going to... Hey, Daddy, are you going to be able to pay the light bill? I'm worried that Duke Power's going to shut the power. No, sir. All he had to do was just play with the toys and watch Duke basketball. That's all he had to do. Amen. His daddy and his mama had to take care of him, right? Still do, don't you? Yeah. Now, here this woman, she said, I know that thy servant feared God. Now, let me tell you something. My Heavenly Father will take care of me regardless of the situation. Amen. My Heavenly Father, the Bible said, Jesus said, if I've clothed the lilies of the field and if I've taken care of the sparrows of heaven which fall out of the sky, so much more will I take care of you. Amen. I believe, honey, that God will supply all of our needs. But you got to be a child of God. Now, everything that Pat and Ronnie did for this fella here and they did for their daughter, that's well and good, but you didn't walk down the street and just pick up somebody else's kid and say, hey, I'm going to clothe you, I'm going to feed you, I'm going to take care of you, I'm going to buy everything that you need. No, sir, because they're not their children. You cannot expect God to take care of you unless you're one of His. Amen. But if you are one of His, He'll take care of you. All right, so that's the backdrop of the story. Let's notice something here. All she had was a pot of oil. Only a pot of oil. Now notice something here as we give a little bit of story background. Number one, notice that God can always provide a way. God can always open a door. Notice something here. Here the Bible said this man of God, he was a prophet, he was a preacher, and evidently had some money troubles. Evidently he had some bills. Evidently, he probably borrowed some money and he needed to borrow some money and try to make ends meet. And yet, my friend, he got in money trouble. My friend, can I tell you that almost every preacher that God has ever used has experienced some type of hard times. Amen. Amen. I believe this, that God sometimes takes a man through some hard times so he'll appreciate the good times. I mean, I told folk the other night, my two sisters and myself, we were poor coming up. We didn't know we were poor. But we just thought everybody was that way. Amen. We lived on the mill side of town. Y'all know what that is? Raise your hand. We lived in a mill house. I mean, you can look from our house to see Edna Cotton Mill in Reedsville. Hey, we didn't do without anything. Daddy worked hard and Daddy provided a living for us, but we didn't have I thought, hey, when I was in 1969, I thought it was a treat to go to Hardee's on Friday night and get a 15-cent hamburger. Amen. Still is a treat to go get a 15-cent hamburger if you can find one. Now we think it's good to have a dollar menu. But every man of God sometimes experiences hard times. God cannot use a man or a woman unless they are willing to put him first and money second. Amen. Amen. Can I tell you something right now? God will not bless a Christian unless they put God first and money second. Some folks sitting here this morning say, well, you know, why ain't God blessing me? Well, drag out how much you give to God and you'll see. Amen. I believe this, that God said if you give, that he would open the windows of heaven, bestow you out a blessing you couldn't contain it. God will bless a man or a woman that'll put him first and everything else second. Now listen here, this woman cried out, my husband is dead and the creditor is come. She'd come to the end of her rope. She'd exhausted all the means of her house. She couldn't go out and get a job. You see, in that day and time, women didn't work outside the home. They stayed at home, took care of the needs. There were no jobs for women back then, in that day. She couldn't do anything. And my friend, I believe that if they could have had a yard sale, they probably sold what they could, but they didn't have all she had. When Elijah said, what do you have in your house? She said, the only thing I've got is a pot of oil. There ain't a whole lot. There ain't a pot of oil. I mean, listen, there ain't much. All she's got is a pot of oil. And my friend, she had come to the end of her rope. She'd come to desperation. She'd exhausted all of her resources. I mean, listen, she didn't have a Visa card. She didn't have a MasterCard. She didn't have money in the bank. She had come to the end of her rope. You say, what happens when you come to the end of your rope? You tie a knot and hang on. Amen. Here this woman was. She said, I don't know where else to go but to go to the man of God. Preacher, I need some help. And Elisha had a remedy. Aren't you glad that God always has a way out if you'll come to him? Amen. Regardless of what your need is, if it's financial, if it's spiritual, if it's emotional, God will meet your need. When trouble comes, we ought to run to the Lord. The Bible said in Psalm 50, verse 15, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Psalm 55, 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, he shall sustain thee. 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Beloved, instead of running here and there, would you run to the altar and say, God, I've tried everything under the sun. I've tried to work it out on my own. I can't do it. I need your help. And he'll help you every time. Number two, notice not only about what Elijah said to her, but notice here, what you have is enough. Look what the Bible said. In verse number two, Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Well, you might say, that's a pretty dumb question. I mean, you know, here she is about ready to lose her son to a creditor. And Elisha, I believe Elisha looked at her and he said, what do you want me to do? I don't have the money to bail you out. And by the way, can I tell you something, friend? Sometimes money is not the answer to your problem. Amen. Some folks say, well, if I just got a raise, if I got a little bit more money, I'd be able to work it out. Honey, I got news for you. If you don't put God first, you'll never work it out. You'll never. So you say 2 and 2 equals 4, not in God's vocabulary, not in God's numerology. No, sir. You put God first, and he said, I'll bless you. And so Elijah said, what do you want me to do? And he said, verse number 2, Elijah kind of scratched his head, and he said, what do you have in your house? What do you have in your house? the prophet of God said, "What do you have?" And she said, "Only a pot of oil. That's all I got left. I've got a pot of oil, and we use that to cook with. We use that for lights, and preacher, that's all that we got is a pot of oil." Elijah said, "That's enough. Little is much when God is in it. Little is much when God begins to bless. You take that lad with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and God blessed it, and God broke it, and he fed a multitude with it. Hey, little is much when God's in it. God can take a little and multiply it and meet a great need. What you have is enough. You say, I'm not an eloquent speaker. If God hadn't called you to preach, then that's fine. If God hadn't called you to sing, that's fine. But what you got is enough to serve God with. Samson, all he had was a jawbone of an ass, and God used that. All the maid had was a handful of meal, and God used that to feed Elijah. All Moses had was a rod, but God used that to lead a great nation. What you have is enough. Look at what you have. The woman said, "All I got's a pot of oil. What do you have?" You say, "I've got this and this and this." Hey, you've got more than a pot of oil. And God can take what you got, though it may be little, and though it may not be a lot, but God can use what you got for the glory of God. I want to ask you something. Think of this. What will matter 100 years from right now? What's going to matter 100 years? You ain't going to be around. Amen. Not in this body you won't be around. What's going to matter 100 years? I'll tell you what's going to matter. Sister Gail, them fellas you go to the prison and talk to about Jesus, that'll matter 100 years from now. Them folks down the road that need Jesus, that'll matter 100 years from now. Hey, money is not going to matter 100 years. The house you live in ain't going to matter 100 years. The car you drive ain't going to matter 100 years from today. Only what you do for God is what's going to matter. So what you got is enough. Don't be saying, "I don't have anything to serve the Lord with." What you've got's enough. Number three, here's what I'm going to get to this morning. Notice what Elijah said to this woman. She said, "All I've got's a pot of oil." Verse 3. How many are there? Raise your hand. Verse 3. Now look what Elijah said. This is a strange command. Elijah said, "Go and do what, everybody?" Now wait just a second. Now let me understand this. Here this woman, she's already in debt, so she doesn't have any money. And Elijah looks over and says to her, "Go and borrow." If that had been, you know what? If that had been today, you know what would have happened, Sister Joanne? I'll tell you what would have happened. They'll say, "Fill out this credit report and I'll see if I can let you borrow anything." Amen? If that had been today and you say, "I don't have anything," you walk down yonder to Sears and Roebuck and you say, "Hey, can I just borrow a few of these pots and pans and I'll bring them back?" They'll say, "You crazy." You go down to Goodwill and say, "Can I borrow? I mean, they're discounted. Can I get a few of these?" No, you got to pay for them. But she went to her neighbors, and her neighbors knew. Can I tell you something that I hadn't really even thought about until right now? Thank God for some good folks who are willing to look beyond the present and try to help some folks out. Amen. Hey, listen. It's like that black fella. One time he looked over at his friend and he said, "Hey, Leroy," he said, If you had 2 pigs, would you give me one of them?" He said, "Yeah, I'd give you one of them." He said, "Hey, Leroy, if you had 2 horses, would you give me one of them?" He said, "Yeah, I'd give you one of them." He said, "Hey, Leroy, if you had 2 chickens, would you give me one?" He said, "That ain't fair. You know why I got 2 chickens. You see, thank God that there's some folk that are willing to help even when you get down and out. Amen. She went to her neighbors, and Elijah said this to her. He said, I want you to go and borrow some vessels. Little ones, big ones, half gallon, pints, quarts, whatever. Go and borrow some vessels. Now that seems strange. All she had was a pot of oil. What in the world is she going to do going out? Hey, can you imagine she goes out, knocks on her neighbor's house. Hey, do you mind if I borrow a big old gallon pot? What you going to do with it? I don't know. What you going to cook? I have no idea. But the man of God said I needed to borrow it. She goes down and knocks on the door and said, hey, can I borrow a pot from you? What you going to do with it? I don't know. But the man of God said, I need to borrow it. Hey, can you have enough faith in God's man that when he says something, you believe it? Amen. And here this woman, she went down and borrowed these vessels. And that brings me to the third thing. Look at number three. God wants empty vessels. Here's the test of faith. As she went down to borrow these vessels, they had to be empty vessels. They wasn't full of something else. They wasn't full of dirt, and they wasn't full of food. They wasn't full of water or wine or anything else. They were empty. Can you see as these two boys and this woman going through town and knocking on everybody's door and getting a bunch of pots together, and they're coming back to the house with them, they're all empty vessels. Now friend, God can only use empty vessels. God can only use people who are empty of self and things of this world. Hey, I've got news for you. Now listen. By the way, this is my glass, so don't any of y'all get any good ideas about drinking out of it. Say amen. I found it at Goodwill. I liked it. I think it's pretty. God shed his grace on thee. I like it. But I know one thing. That's mine. Amen. So don't go getting it and drinking out of it. Have you ever been to a restaurant? I know some folk, I don't know if it makes a difference or not, they'll go in a restaurant and the first thing they'll say when they bring out their drinks, do you have a straw? I asked somebody one day, why do you want a straw? They said, I wouldn't dare put my lips on that glass. I don't know who else has been on it. And I said, well, this has been washed, yeah, but I don't trust them back yonder. I thought to myself, well, what does it matter if your lips on the outside or whatever, if they spit in there and you got the straw, hey, it all going to the same place anyway. I didn't figure that out yet. But hey, here's the thing. God can only use empty vessels. If you walked in a restaurant and they brought you, said, I want a nice cold glass of iced tea, and they brought it out, and floating inside that iced tea was some foreign object, you'd say, excuse me, can I have another one? This one's got something in it. Oh, I'm sorry. They bring you out a spoon and it's still got something plastered on it. You say, excuse me, can I have another one? You know what I'm getting at? Hey, God can only use clean, empty vessels. If you're so full of the world and so full of other things, God doesn't have any room. He cannot use you. God says, empty out of everything, get cleaned up, and then I'll use you. Amen. God's looking for some folk that he can use today, but he can't use you if you're dirty. He can't use you if you're full of other stuff. Get rid of it and serve the Lord. Time's running out. And here Elijah told her to go and get some empty vessels quickly. I want you to see something. How many, read this real quickly, how many did he say to go and get? Look what he says. In verse number 3, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, empty vessels, and borrow what? Not a few. How many is many? How many is a few? That depends on your interpretation. Some folks say, we was down there at the tent the other night, and they's bundled up in blankets, wrapped up. I was up there just a preaching, sweating away, drenched with sweat, running down just like it is now. Personally, I think it's hot in here. How many of y'all are comfortable? How many of you are hot? How many of you are cold? When you say, hey, I'm hot, I'm cold, that is a relative term. Now listen, if you say, if Joanne says it's cold, buddy, it's cold, amen. Her thermometer's about 110 most of the time. But now some of y'all, when you say it's cold, it might be 60 degrees. And you say, I'm cold. That's a relative term. You go to Alaska and you say, it's cold up here. Yeah, buddy, it is 50 below zero. It's cold. You come back to North Carolina and it's 60 degrees. You say, it's cold. Them people in Alaska say, no, we're having a heat wave. Now look what he said. Barring not a few. How many is a few? How many is many? That depends on your faith. If I were to say to you this morning, how many of you, if I were to say to you this morning, that if y'all come back here tonight at 6 o'clock, I'm going to have a truck full of money outside, and if you'll come and bring a box with you, we'll fill it up for you. Praise God, you'd be looking for boxes every which way. Amen? Some of you bring a big box, some bring little boxes, some bring a whole bunch of boxes. This woman, Elijah said, bar it, not a few. She borrowed as many as she thought she would need. Now watch this, and we're about done. She got inside the house, and then when she got inside, what did Elijah say to her? I want you to take that little pot of oil that you got, look at verse 4, and when you get inside the house, shut the door, thy sons, and pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Boy, I'd love to have seen that. I'd see that mother and those two boys, and they got all these pots lined up. And she's got this little old pot of oil. I mean, I'm thinking it's just a little old thing. And she shut the door, and they've gathered inside, and she starts pouring of that pot. And she starts pouring. And she gets to the top of the brim. She looks over and says, son, get another pot. He goes, gets another one. She keeps a pouring. That one's full. And another one's full. And another one's full. She keeps a pouring. And she keeps a pouring. And she finally says, son, get another pot. He says, mama, we've used them all. There is no more pots. And all of a sudden, the oil stopped. Now, think with me for just a minute. If that was you, and if that was me, what do you reckon would be the first things out of our mouth? What do you think she would have said? I wish I'd had some more pots. I wish I had some more pots. Why? Because the oil stopped when she ran out of pots. Can I tell you something, friend? Oil in the Bible is a symbol of the Holy Ghost of God. And without the Holy Ghost of God, we might as well pack up right now, fold our Bibles, shut everything down, and go to the house, because nothing will ever happen unless the oil of the Holy Ghost has anointed the service, anointed the singing, anointed the preacher. Unless the oil is flowing, nothing will ever happen. I'm not one of them that believes in shenanigans. I don't believe in some of this stuff going around today. But I'll tell you one thing. Some of us, some Baptists today have gotten so far from the Holy Ghost of God. They've tried to plan everything out. They put everything in a program. They've tried to orchestrate God. They put God in a box. Hey, you put him in a box, he'll kick the sides out and come out and show you he's still God. And this woman here, the oil stopped just when she ran out of pots. And that brings me here to the last thing. And notice what the Bible said. The oil filled the vessels, And then it stopped. And then here's what the Bible said. Notice the last thing. And Elisha said unto her, go and sell the oil. And he said, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest of it. There was enough oil to meet every need she had. There was enough oil to pay off every debt. I can imagine they lugged them. And by the way, oil in the Bible, it was precious. It could be sold in many marketplaces. They used it for lights. They used it for cooking. They used it for a variety of... So oil was just as good as gold. And I can see them taking them buckets down, setting them up there, paying her that money. She goes over and pays her debt off. She pays this debt off. She pays that debt off. And all of a sudden, listen, honey, God begins to bless her. I don't know. Maybe I'm just imagining. Maybe I'm just imagining, but I believe this. I don't believe that God wants us to scrimp. I believe God wants to bless us abundantly. Amen. Honey, I believe this, that she had enough oil when she sold it all, paid her debt off. She had enough cash money. Hey, you know what? She probably said, boys, let's go down and let's dress up this place. Let's put some paint on this. Let's put some curtains up. Let's let people know the goodness of God. Amen? And I believe this, that when you rode through that town, when you rode through that village, that house stood out because it was a testimony of what God did in her life. And from generation to generation, they lived on what that oil brought them. Amen? I like that. Because I want for my children what God's done for me. But they've got to pour the oil out. They've got to experience what I've experienced. We've been through some tough times over these last 40, 50 years or so, but God has been faithful. He's met every need. I hope my kids have seen God will take care of you. God will take care of you. In the good times and the bad times and the hard times, God will take care of you. What do you have in your house today? You say, well, preacher, I got a bunch of old magazines and a bunch of old movies that really don't need to be there. And you know, preacher, I got some things in my refrigerator and I got some stuff laying around that ought not to be there. Get rid of it. Come down here and say, God, cleanse my heart, cleanse, wash me, help me to get the filth out of my house. Y'all see that program on TV sometime, them hoarders, they call them? I mean, all you can do is just, you know, kind of, you know, scoot through, walk through. I believe in the Christian's life, that's the way it is. God wants to come in. God wants to bless you, but you got so much junk piled up. You got it up to the ceiling. You've got things in your life that ought not to be there. You know that. I don't have to name them by name. I don't have to go down through and say this and this, A, B, and C, D. You know, God put His finger on it. And you know them things ought not to be in a Christian's life. You know they're hurting you. They're hurting your testimony. They're hurting your reputation. Hey, get them out and let God fill you and God use you for the glory of God. And your children and your grandchildren and them to come will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.